Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy in chapter number 6. And a book of the Bible in the Old Testament of your scripture this morning. Deuteronomy in chapter number 6. And I thank God for that song and the truth of it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that's God's desire for your life and mine, that we would know Him and that the result of knowing Him would be new life. And we don't have the power to make our life new, but God does, and He wants to, and He will give us the energy and the ability to do that one day at a time, one area at a time. But God wants us to have a new love, a love for Him, a new appetite for the things of His Word, a new place to go, like church, new friends that love God and that are wanting to live for the Lord, and new ambitions and priorities and values. And God cultivates all of that in us, and He's doing that in us in this class. And I'm so thankful for it, and thank the Lord for the message of that song. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We're continuing this morning in our series, The Heart of a Child. This is a brand new series. This is just week number 3, kind of still laying the groundwork, helping us to hear from the Word of God and to learn and to be sharpened in how we can cultivate our homes and specifically our parenting to focus on the heart of a child, that God would help us to instill in them a heart for God, which is really the goal of our homes and of the stewarding of the life that God has given us in our children. Whether you're in the midst of this right now or maybe preparing a home for this in the future, I certainly hope and pray that it's a blessing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4 is where let's look in the beginning. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And here is some practical instruction that is being given to God's people and how they should train their children. A couple years ago, we were at Disneyland, and Joseph was with me, and we were riding the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And so he may have been, 3 years old, and we got on the boat, and you get out into the water a little bit, and you get into the big room, and there's what appears to be cannons flying and water splashing and fire and so forth, going off. And Joseph looked at me with big eyes, and he said, "Daddy, is this real or pretend?" And it was the kind of question of, if it's real, we're in trouble. But if it's pretend, we can relax and kind of enjoy the ride, But he wanted to be sure, what is it that we're experiencing right now? And you know what? For children, they're looking to you and I as dads and moms for a reality check. Is this real or pretend? What is it that I'm looking at? What is it that I'm facing? What is it that I am going through? And you and I, through the Word of God and the principles that the Lord provides us, want to be able to give them the instruction that they can determine, that they have the wherewithal to know, this is truth, this is not. This is real, this is not. This is right, this is wrong. And God wants to give us the tools to give it to them. And so we're going to talk today about the call to formative instruction. And I want to lay some groundwork this morning, and then really towards the last point or two, try to give some applicable and practical teaching. Number one, let's look at the definition of formative instruction. What are we talking about when we say formative instruction? And formative instruction is teaching, or training is a biblical word that forms our children. It roots them in the Word of God. It equips them with the principles that they need to make decisions based on the truth of God's Word. Formative instruction is before the problem instruction. Most parenting that happens today is a problem arises and now we react. Very little parenting is preventative. Informative instruction is before the problem instruction. It's, hey, there's not a major problem, there's not a major crisis, there's not a major issue, but God has given us responsibility as dads and moms in rearing our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to teach them, to train them in the way that they should go. And that's what formative instruction is. It's focusing on responding to life in a biblical way and making decisions that pleases the Lord. Now, I want to make note as we think about formative instruction that your faith, your response to life, your ability to endure trials, how you treat people, the way you live, the way you interact as husband and wife, all of that affects your ability to formatively train your children because your life speaks so much louder than your message. And so formative instruction is forming children. It's shaping their lives. It's before problem instruction. It's training. But your life as it is lived is a big part. And we want to make sure we understand that. And by the way, none of us are perfect. None of us are going to stand before our kids and say, I have arrived, follow me and you will do well. But by God's grace, may we set a good example, follow me as I follow Christ. And so the definition of formative instruction. Secondly, quickly, the problem of assuming too much. Now this call to formative instruction challenges you and I, don't assume too much. Sometimes we overestimate what our children know or understand. Oh yeah, they know that. Oh yeah, they understand that. Oh yeah, that's a no problem. But we've got to recognize, listen, formative instruction is a different mindset. We're not waiting for a problem to arise to react to. We're just trying to form and instruct and train. And so we don't want to just assume that our children understand A, B, or C about life. We want to teach them from the Bible. By the way, how many of you, like me, are praying that you get to teach your children about a couple of things before people start talking to them about it?
Amen.
There's a lot of people with a lot of different ideas. I want to be the guy teaching my children from the Bible about this, that, or the other, and then for them to have that truth to make the decisions that they're going to need to make going forward. So we don't want to assume too much. Our children need you and I. Sometimes in our culture and society, the picture is painted that, you know, send them to school and the government will teach them and the daycare and they'll train them and this and that and we're going to tell you the diet they need and all of this and that. And basically, you as parents have a very limited, unimportant role. Wrong. God gave them to you. You have a very significant role in their training and development. So we don't want to assume they know too much. Thirdly, as we see this call to formative instruction, we're reminded that it is not the same as corrective discipline. It is not the same as corrective discipline. And we mentioned this by way of introduction, one of the lessons, so I'll speak on it briefly. But there needs to be times of correction, and we'll learn more of that even in this series. That's a vital part of parenting. But that in and of itself is not in its entirety all of our instruction. It could never be and it should not be. And so we need corrective times, but we need times of training, informative instruction in the lives of our children. Sometimes when we're dealing with a particular area with corrective measures, it's not really the best time to be teaching everything that they need to hear. We kind of need to deal with that. But times where there's not something going on is a great opportunity to teach them about some things that they need to know. Formative instruction is teaching our children God's way for everything. And God has a way for everything. And so it's going to take a whole lot more than just a problem arises, we discipline, we teach, and then we move on. It's a whole lot more than that. It's bigger than that. Now, corrective discipline is part of it, but in and of itself, it's insufficient for training. Why? Because our children need answers. Think about the questions culture is trying to answer in the minds and hearts of your children today. Here's a couple of them. What's important? What's valuable? What's worth fighting for? What is truth? How does truth affect or change my life? How should my relationships be structured? What relationships are okay? What convictions must I truly live by? What's entertaining? What's the function of entertainment? What should I think about my appearance? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These questions are being answered by culture all of the time in the hearts and minds of our children. And God says to you and I, listen, you, I'm calling you to formative instruction because the questions are there, and by the way, so are the answers, and thank God for His Word. We have the answers. That's not the problem. The problem is taking the time to give them to our children, to train them in this formative instruction, teaching them the Word of God. And we cannot simply just weave all of that into whenever there's correction needed. It needs to be much more than that and much bigger than that. Then fourthly, let me give you an Old Testament illustration. What are we talking about? This called a formative instruction. In Joshua chapter number 24, there's a powerful illustration about the importance of formative instruction. Now, many of us are familiar with the verse in Joshua 24, verse 15, and I think you've got it there in your notes. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is Joshua making this proclamation, reminding the people of God, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. But let me paint the scene. This is Joshua's farewell instruction. This is the shadow of Joshua's leadership and ministry. This is him looking back and saying, hey, don't forget, you have a choice, but choose God. For me and my family, that's what we're going to do. And he's reminding them of their past. Boy, remember God calling Abraham to leadership and giving us Canaan and rescuing us from Egyptian bondage and giving us the promised land and the wonderful victories like Jericho. And remember all that God did. Now, you've got a choice, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, how do they respond? Look at your notes in Joshua 24, 18. And the Lord dragged them out from before us, all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. So Joshua says, hey, for me and my house, we're going to serve God. He's amazing. Look at all the stuff he's done. And they say, you're right. Boy, he drove them out. He's our God. We're going to worship him as well. But how did they do in instilling that conviction in the hearts and minds of their children? And tragically, not very well. In fact, one generation removed in Judges chapter 2, in verse number 10, the Bible says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So one generation removed from, we were there at Jericho. We saw the promised land. We benefited from God's miraculous and amazing work. One generation removed, now living in houses they had not built, eating from vineyards they had not planted, benefiting from a war they never fought. There was a generation that didn't even know God and didn't even know his works. Now, is that the leadership's fault? Is that the priest's fault? Is that the church's fault? Is that the pastor's fault? Is that the Sunday school teacher's fault? No. You know whose fault that is? Mom and dad. Amen. That's a parental fault. Joshua said, not as for me and our nation, not as for me and our church, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's an emphasis there on where this is transferred is in the home. And that was the mission. That was the purpose given. In one generation we moved. We don't know the Lord or anything that he did. That's a problem with the home. And that could be said about many homes in America today. And so we see an Old Testament illustration. Boy, there was no formative instruction there. And we need to have this. And God gives us a blueprint of it in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. So let's look at number 5 then. The place for formative instruction. The place for formative instruction. And I believe the primary place of formative instruction to be the home. Now, thank God, right now, if we have children, they're in a Sunday school class. We just handed out some brochures about a Christian school. Thank God for that. Thank God for junior camps, a vacation Bible school, and youth ministries. Thank God for all of the various things that are offered through a local New Testament church and through the body of Christ that come along to strengthen and edify and build up our homes. Thank God for every bit of it. Take advantage of as much of it as you can, but recognize at the end of the day, none of that changes the fact the responsibility is on my shoulders and yours for formative instruction of our kids. It is not a Sunday school mission. It is not a Christian school mission. It is not a youth ministry mission. It is a mission that God gave us as moms and dads to formatively instruct and train our children the truth of the Word of God. Now, God's grace is sufficient. We may have some single parents that in various circumstances are striving to accomplish what they can. And I just want to remind you, God's grace is sufficient. And God loves you and God wants to see your home. Please and honor him. I think of that and I think of my wife's mom. My wife, for those of you who don't know her testimony, she actually grew up in a pastor's home as a very young child. And her dad had to leave the ministry for moral failure. And she went through a very difficult time in her upbringing. And her mom, as a single mom of four teenagers, said, "We need to go to church." They live 45 minutes from my home church. And they drove there on a Sunday. My wife's brother, John, who's a pastor today, back then on the visitor cards, used to have a box. Now we have connection cards with boxes. Back then they had a box and it said, "I would like a personal visit from the pastor." And they don't usually put that on there anymore unless you're from Hawaii. But back then they had them on them all, you know? And so he saw that box and he thought, "We live 45 minutes away. That pastor's never going to come here." And kind of out of spite and rebellion, he checked the box. Well, sure enough, on Tuesday night, my dad and one of the deacons of our church showed up at their front door and met Grace, my wife's mom, and those four kids, John and Kathy and Sarah and Susanna, and began to talk to them about their visit to the church. And my wife's mom basically poured out her heart and said, "Our home is on the brink of a lot of terrible things happening, and we're in desperate need of a church in the Lord. Would you help us?" And they said, "Absolutely, you need to come." A single mom with a conviction burning in her heart drove 45 minutes Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There were still two school-aged, drove 5 days a week and put them in Christian school, cleaned homes, baked meals, did ironing, whatever it took to pay the bills, and just said, "I'm not going to let anything hinder me from doing right." Amen. To God be the glory, today her son is a pastor in Northern California near the state capitol. Her oldest daughter teaches in Christian school there. Sarah teaches in Christian school in the state of Ohio. And my wife helps me serve here. Today, she is a member of her son's church. All four of her kids in the ministry, all of her grandkids growing up in Christian homes. That's God's hand of favor and blessing upon a lady who had maybe a reason to say, "You know what? Forget it." And said, "No, no, no. God has given me the responsibility to train, and I'm going to do the best I can with what I have." And God blessed and honored that. And God's grace is sufficient. I don't know what challenges you're facing from doing right, whether single parent or as a couple in your home, getting to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, in the midweek service, maybe take advantage of Christian education, but maybe a testimony of a single mom that all the odds were against her, but said, "My God is greater," and did it. And how God blessed would be an inspiration to all of us this morning. And so making sure that we recognize, listen, we're raising children in a dangerous culture that it's impossible to quarantine. I mean, it's just coming in at all sides, and we want to make sure that our homes are a place where formative instruction are happening. And by the home, by the way, every now and then you need to assess your home and say, "Hey, is our home proof or protected from the culture?" Sometimes we look at the culture and we all say, "Amen, it's going in the wrong direction. It's against God and it's promoting stuff that's against the Bible." But then you go in our homes and the culture is everywhere in our home. Boy, make sure we're kind of assessing our homes. Is our home culture proof? Is it more Christian than it is culture? Even the rooms of our children. I don't know, maybe it's their own television or their own computer or whatever. I don't know that I would understand the value of putting a television in a child's room or a computer with internet access in a child's room. You're inviting a lot of things there that you're trying to protect them from. And so you just want to assess your home and say, "God, help us to have a place of formative instruction in our home." And then he provides for us, number six, a pattern of formative instruction found right here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And we read these verses, and this is where I want to spend a little bit of time giving us a practical application of this formative instruction. What's a pattern that we can follow? And first of all, I want us to see from this pattern, letter A, the goal. The goal of formative instruction is not just to, you know, teach them something that they might know it in their head. The goal of formative instruction, look up in verse number 2. It says, "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commands, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged." You know what the goal of it is? That it sticks, that it's real, that what you're giving your children, they're going to give their children, and then they're going to give their children. And this is going to be real. It's going to be authentic. It's going to be genuine. It's going to be relationship. It's going to be something that stays with them. We all know the statistics of kids that grow up in Christian homes, hit high school, and hit the front door, never to darken a doorstep of a church again. What happened? No formative instruction. There may have been some correction. There may have been some other things, but there was not instilling in the heart of that child a heart for God. Because somebody who possesses a heart for God doesn't run from God the first chance they get. They run to God. And we want to give our children a heart for God. And so we need to make sure formative instruction is happening in our home. And we're not thinking in terms of we're just trying to survive the parenting years, but we're thinking in the terms of God's kingdom and God's plan and God's will and how we can instill that in the hearts of the children in which He has given. So the goal is that it would stick and the posterity of it would last. But then I want us to see letter B, when and where biblical formative instruction should take place. When and where? And formative instruction is to be done everywhere all the time. That's when we read Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, he says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and thou shalt walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." He's basically saying it's got to saturate your life, okay? But practically, let's break this down and get a few ideas. Now, there are some informal and formal times in your home when you could apply when thou sittest in thy house, okay? What's that phrase talking about when it comes to providing biblical formative instruction in your home and in mine? When thou sittest in thine house. Well, a formal application of that would be your family altar time, your family worship time, your family devotion time. For years, we've called them our special times. But a time where your family has family devotions, okay? Some new Christians might say, well, what is family devotions? What does that mean? Essentially, family devotions consist of three components. Number one, singing. And you could jot that down in the margin, but it's not there. Number two, reading. And number three, prayer. Okay? So a family worship, a family altar, a family devotional time, you want to consist of singing, reading, prayer. Okay? And this is a formal time in your home where you're learning the Word of God. Now, for us, this has worked best right before bed. Now, for you, it may be before dinner, maybe after dinner, maybe another time. For us, this has worked well before bed. And so maybe 15 minutes or so before bed, we'll call special times. Our kids will come into the living room. We'll sit around the living room as a family and we'll worship the Lord. Right now, we're using the devotional book, The Word of the Wise. And so last night we read about the lazy man on April the 26th. And so we were learning about those things. And so we're learning a truth every day from the book of Proverbs. And then we pray. And oftentimes everyone will pray and we'll just ask the Lord to help us to learn these things and to bless our home. But this is a formal time that we can have to worship the Lord. And I just want to encourage you, especially every dad, but certainly every home, have a formal when thou sittest in thine house time of biblical formative instruction. Have family devotions. And you say, Brother Rule, I have no idea what to do. All right? Learn some of these courses that we're learning. Take the class bulletin home with you and pull it out and say, all right, man, tonight we're going to sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, or He's Able, or get with some of our staff and get some good children's songs, or whatever the case may be, and just get some songs that you can sing, and then maybe get a devotional, maybe pick a book of the Bible, maybe a couple of verses every night, and then just have prayer and talk to the Lord. It may feel awkward. It may feel a little different at first, but I'm telling you, it's a great investment you can make in your family and in your home. A formal time when thou sittest down. But when thou sittest down doesn't just have to refer to the formal time. It refers to any informal time. Man, just hanging out, just spending time together, just being around the house, maybe being at the meal table. Any opportunity that you have to insert in the conversation something that you're equipping and giving your children from the Word of God is formative instruction, and we want to look for opportunities to do that. So he says, when thou liest down in thy house, then he says, and when thou, when thou walkest by the way, and then when thou liest down. So we have times where we're sitting in our home, formal and informal. Then he talks about times where we're lying down. I want to challenge you practically here, have kind of a set way you bring your children's end to the day, okay? It's probably not wise to just say to the kids, Mom, Dad are going to bed. We'll see you in the morning. For lots of reasons. but it's good to provide them some structure, and it's good to have hands in how their day is ending. Okay? Now, you may choose to do your family devotional time there at the end. That's how we do it. You may do it a different time. But I think at the end, there should be a set time. Everybody's going to bed. And then part of that time should be you, mom and dad, going into their room, maybe after they've washed their hands and brushed their teeth and do whatever they need to do to get ready in their pajamas and all that good stuff. And then you go into their room and you pray with them. And you just pray that God would give them a good night of rest, that God would give them a heart for Him. And I'm telling you, there's something about a child's heart opening up at bedtime. They don't want to talk to you any other time during the day, but when you're trying to put them to bed, all of a sudden, oh, here's how I feel about this. And I mean, you know, you can have this 2-hour discourse when you're trying to put them to bed, you know. And you know, sometimes as moms and dads, we want to say, seriously, you know, it's time for bed. But we need to say, hey, this is an opportunity. Man, I'm connecting here. So put them to bed, have a time of prayer, give them a kiss, give them a hug, tuck them in. And if their heart is open or tender about something, take advantage of it and use it. But I'm telling you, having a practice of having some structure at the end of a day, this is how the day wraps up and this is what we do. And by the way, when you're striving for some couple time, then you put the kids to bed so you've got some couple time. This is when you're going to go to bed and this is how that's going to work and so forth. And you structure that home. But use that time to your advantage. Have a daily connection as it closes with them and have some prayer and so forth. So that's what teach them diligently to thy children. That's what talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. We need to meet our children in the morning with a beginning to their day. The Bible says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest deserve to do all according as written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Children benefit from habits and structure. So you want to instill, okay, this is how the day ends. We're going to bed. It's structured. I'm going in the room. I'm praying with them. I'm talking with them. They're going to bed now. And then in the morning, hey, good morning. And we've got some structure. When do your children talk to God in the morning? If they're reading, what are they reading in the Bible? You want to be involved in that. Hey, it's time to have a devotional time. And they may have it on their own. They may have it in their bed. They may have it in the living room. But you want to help, teach, train. Boy, this is how you do it, and this is how we pray, and this is what we could read. And you want to be helping them develop that in the morning. You want to see them starting their day with the Lord and ending their day with the Lord. And so you want to take advantage of that. He says in that verse, when thou walkest by the way. I think in today's vocabulary, you could say when you're together in the car. When you're going from place to place. Now, if your car's full of kids, and mine is, I've got 3 on the way to school in the morning, we have a practice. We get out of the driveway. Let's sing today's song. This is the day the Lord hath made. We'll sing that. Brother Fry, we've got you and your brother CD in our car. And song number 9, Herman the Bullfrog. Man, if they get their way, we're listening to all Herman the Bullfrog. And that's a little longer than this is the day. But if we got time, we'll do it. And then we'll pull out on my phone the proverb of the day. And Annalena will read a verse. And Lydia will read 2. And Mariah will read 2. And I'll listen to those 5. And I'll try to pull out a little nugget that I can teach in 30 seconds. And then we'll pray. And Annalena prays first. And then Lydia prays. And then Mariah prays. And then Daddy prays. And from our home to the school, we can get about that much done so that we've had that connection before they go on to their school day. That doesn't make us amazing. It's just an opportunity to try to provide biblical formative instruction every opportunity that I am with them. And you want to be looking for ways, how can we do that in every facet of our lives? And then look at verse number 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, as a frontlet between thine eyes. Look at verse number 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I think you could say here, the decor of your home should reflect biblical formative instructions. He says, write them, God's words, upon the posts of thy house, upon thy gates. I'm so thankful my wife has verses on the walls in our home, and they're beautifully done. Some of them are creatively painted. Some of them are vinyl, and we adhered them to the wall. But you want to make sure that your home is declaring this is a Christian home. Just think about it. What's on the walls of your kids' rooms? Is it distinctly Christian? Is it developing them a heart for God? Is that the culture that they're in your home? It should be. And that's what he's saying here in Deuteronomy. It's it's everywhere. It's saturating. It's when you're sitting down in a formal setting. It's when you're hanging out. It's when you're putting them to bed. It's when you're waking up. It's when you're going to and fro, walking or in the car. It's on the walls of the house. It's everywhere. It's just the way your life is. This is how biblical formative instruction happens. And then letter C. The goal that it would last, when and where, it's everywhere all the time. Letter C, our love for God is essential. Deuteronomy chapter number 6 is God's plan, but it is not meant to just be truth being spoken through a mouthpiece. God's truth must be the life that we live and model for our children. The Bible says in Psalms, O taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. God wants you and I to be so in love with him, so convinced of his truth, so desiring to live his way in our own lives, that is what fuels our biblical formative instruction in the hearts of our children. And then look at the warning in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 in your notes. The Bible says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. How can we teach them? By not letting them depart from our heart. You know what our homes need? Biblical formative instruction. It needs to saturate everything we do. But that's not going to happen as effectively as it could if it doesn't start in here. So my challenge to all of us this morning as we strengthen our homes is, Lord, help me to be more in love with you this morning than I've ever been before. Help me to take this challenge from Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's kind of a lot, but let me start looking at my home and saying, okay, here's some things we could add. Here's some things we could adjust. Here's some things we could do that would help us to strengthen our home and provide biblical formative instruction. And my prayer is that God would use that to give us the hearts of our kids, that we may instill in them a heart for God. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for some time in your word. Thank you for our dear guest for the Friday day. And thank you for your love for us. And Lord, many of us, as you've blessed us with children, some in our class that maybe are preparing for that someday in the future. And God, I just pray that all of us, as we leave here today, would say, Lord, we sure want to be in love with you like we never have been before. And we want our homes to bring you honor and glory. We want them to be sanctuaries where our children are developing a heart for you. So help us to understand what is biblical formative instruction, and then help us to follow this pattern provided in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and apply it to our own lives at home, and to look at our lives, our home, our schedules, our priorities, and instill some changes this week that will help us cultivate a heart for you and the heart of our children. And we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.